Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. It is important, before I actually go into the details of this lecture, to remember one or two things, one or two points. The first is Dogen's theory of time, Uji. That there is no past, present, or future. In the beyond, there is just that which has always been. The second point you need to remember is the verse in the Diamond Sutra, which is right at the end of it. Which says, thus shall ye think of all this fleeting world, a star at dawn, a bubble in a stream, a flash of lightning in a summer cloud, a flickering lamp, a phantom and a dream. The next thing you need to remember is the Ekayana teaching of the one vehicle rather than the three. You all know the parable of the burning house and the three carts that were offered to people, which they then turned down if they were wise and just chose the one. If you would understand this chapter, you must keep those three points well in mind and know the reason and purpose on the deep level for which we are given the privilege of knowing what we call our past lives. For they are to teach us not only what not to do in the future, but also that there is no such thing as time when one is time or space, when one is in the actual beyond. So, this chapter, Hokke Ten Hokke, which is chapter 90 of the Shōbō Genzō, has its title translated as Only a True Flower Shows Its True Face. Says Dōgen, the Buddha land extends in the 10 directions and covers the entire world. Every country has the true flower. Beautiful, undefiled truth. This, the Taoists call the golden flower. And they fitted the Buddhist teachings to their Taoist ideas. Thus they have a little of the truth, whereas Buddhism expresses the whole of it much more clearly. All the Buddhas in the 10 directions and in the three worlds, and all bodhisattvas who have attained supreme enlightenment show their true face, and the true face is shown in them. A bodhisattva with unregressional practice is a man who, having studied the Lotus Scripture, practices accordingly. The wisdom of the Buddhas is truly profound. Even though this wisdom abounds with peace and tranquility, the ordinary person cannot understand it. The principle where one is both enlightened by the Lotus Sutra and enlightens it simultaneously is personified in Manjushri Buddha, who sits as the left-hand attendant of Shakyamuni Buddha, mounted on a lion. He is the bodhisattva of samadhi, or of supreme wisdom. He is considered the personification of the Buddha's wisdom. We should keep this in mind. Most people know Manjushri, the bodhisattva. Few, however, know Manjushri, the Buddha. During his latter period of attainment, when he was aware that one is enlightened by and enlightens the Lotus Sutra simultaneously, he lived in a dragon shrine in the depths of the ocean. Once the Buddha Shakyamuni emerged as Manjushri Buddha, at this time he said, "The Buddhas and I alone understand that only a true flower shows its true face." A scripture expands on this. "Only the Buddhas in the 10 directions and I fully realize the principle. Consequently, we are able to lead all sentient beings to enlightenment." The principle wherein one enlightens the Lotus Scripture and is enlightened by it simultaneously is personified by Samantabhadra Bodhisattva, who sits on the right as the right-hand attendant of Shakyamuni Buddha, mounted on a white elephant. He personifies the teaching, samadhi, and practice of the Buddha according to the Kigongkyo. He established the basic vows of a bodhisattva. Bodhisattvas derive countless merit from this principle of being enlightened simultaneously with Shakyamuni Buddha. It is also why we graphically try to depict all those who have Kechimyakus as being the father, mother, one with the eternal, and therefore standing on the master's head. Bodhisattvas, therefore, derive countless merit from this principle, and it is used as a device to lead sentient beings of varying ability, quality, and manner of practice to the way. Even Mahayanists sometimes fail to grasp this principle, let alone ordinary people or Hinayanists. Whether or not we understand, however, is not important, for ultimately it is through this principle we will realize enlightenment. Growth of a tree is contingent on rain. Growth of our Buddha-seeking mind is contingent on the Lotus Sutra. Now, if we want to understand what this principle is, we must know the deeper reason for why we are allowed to see what we call our past lives. If you would understand this fleeting world as the bubble in the stream, you must know that what appears as reality is not reality in the terms of the third position or the beyond. When you have a genuine vision, one of the things that is first established is that you are definitely in the place where you know yourself to be physically. Certain points are established in this way. Then and only then does the past life come up and show you very clearly that you are both in what you believe to be reality and in a different reality, perhaps, but I think that's a wrong term. I just need to clarify a difference between the two. A different reality wherein appears the past life in which you are moving, speaking, etc. Because you see, if you would know that now, this here and now, is a lecture on Vulture Peak given by Shakyamuni Buddha, if you would know that you are one simultaneously with the beyond, then there is no time and space. And both what you regard as the reality and what shows you what you thought happened in the past, in that reality, are but dreams. All is dream, only the reality of the Buddhas and patriarchs in the beyond is the real reality. And this is the state of awareness in which you must live and move. Unfortunately, society, as we know it in this world, likes to divide everything off into minutes, seconds, hours, days, weeks, months, years. Therefore, it is perfectly all right for the Buddhas and ancestors to say that it takes millions of kalpas to come to the state of awareness where one is one with the eternal. How long is a million of kalpas? The answer to that is as long as it takes to get to this awareness. For there is actually no time and no space. Thus Shakyamuni Buddha could say with perfect truth, I am enlightened simultaneously with the universe. For before all of the great masters and ancestors were, I and they were there. You will see how the three vehicles come into this in a few minutes. Samantabhadra Bodhisattva was giving a discourse on the Lotus Sutra. At the same time, Shakyamuni began his great proclamation on Vulture Peak. For again, there is no time and space. A divine light shone from Shakyamuni's third eye that illuminated 18,000 worlds to the east, and being seen by Samantabhadra, he traveled to this place. It was during this assembly that Manjusri predicted that the Buddha Maitreya would succeed Shakyamuni. This is an example of being enlightened by and enlightening the lotus scriptures simultaneously. Maitreya Buddha is believed to be living in the Tushita heaven, where he is waiting for the time when he will come down to this world and succeed Shakyamuni Buddha. This is believed to be 5,670,000,000 years after the parinirvana of Shakyamuni. But you must remember that the Buddha that is to come, Maitreya Buddha, comes here and now every time someone totally understands the meaning of true reality and is one with the eternal. Samantabhadra's discourse The Buddha's attendance at Shakyamuni's proclamation, Manjusri's prediction and Shakyamuni's proclamation all occurred at different times as the world understands them, but still all reflect the principle that we enlighten and are enlightened by the Lotus Sutras simultaneously. This is the reason why the Buddha appeared in the world to expound the Ekayana teaching. We should know this. The Ekayana teachings are truly profound, far beyond the understanding of Hinayanists and ordinary people. Now these Ekayana teachings, we must know as the teachings of the one vehicle rather than the teachings of the three. The Lotus Scripture states, the Ekayana teaching, in the Ekayana teaching, all form is true form. This is clarified and transmitted by the Buddhas alone. The past seven Buddhas clarified it, Shakyamuni Buddha finalized it. Enlightenment is attainable by all if they understand the place wherein time and space and self do not exist. Yet only those in India and China at this time, we're talking in the 1200s, remember, realize this. The Ekayana teaching, which is considered one of the foremost teachings, first appeared in the world with Shakyamuni. From Shakyamuni it was transmitted through the ensuing line of patriarchs to Enor, the 33rd patriarch. Remember, he was the one who said, since there is nothing from the first, where can the dust alight? What he should have said was, since there is this third position, or what I call the eternal, where can the dust alight? But you see, if you call it that, then you are calling it something. There is nothing, that is true, and it is the fullest nothingness you'll ever bump into. Two of Enor's disciples, Ejo and Gyoshi, received transmission, though only the latter stream, Gyoshi's, exists today. These teachings are found in the wonderful sutra of the true lotus flower, so called because it is the most wonderful sutra. Information regarding the bodhisattvas is also recorded in this sutra. All phenomenon, whether occurring on Vulture Peak, in the great oceans, or on the great earth, is within itself truth. Just being is real existence, and real existence is just being, and this just being is the same throughout all the centuries, as we call them, throughout all time, as we call it. And again, there is no time. I remember being at a lecture in Sorjiji when this was being discussed, and I kept pointing out that if what they were saying was what the Buddha was teaching, and I didn't doubt it, then there indeed was no time. And this is an important point. This is the reason for Shakyamuni's appearance in the world. A true flower shows the truth simultaneously with the truth showing the true flower. Thus, when Buddha beholds Buddha, Buddha disappears and one fire springs up between two stones, the fire of reality. This fact is the umbrella under which eternal life, omniscience, impermanence, and samadhi occur. This truth is also known as the eye and treasury of the true law, supreme mind of nirvana, saving sentient beings through actualization of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. It is a prediction of the future emergence of a Buddha, which all of us will one day become. Once in Tang Dynasty China, when the patriarch Inoue was giving a discourse, a monk named Hotatsu attended. By the way, you should understand we will not become Buddhas as individuals. There is no self in this. This monk Hotatsu said to Inoue, "I have read the Lotus Sutra more than 3,000 times." The patriarch replied, "What good is just reading? Unless you understand the meaning, even 10,000 readings are useless." Hotatsu said, "I am indeed foolish. In all these readings, the sutra has been nothing more than words. I beseech you, please teach me how I can understand the sutra." Inoue answered, "Read it once more. Then I'll explain." After the monk had read the first chapter, Inoue said, "Stop! The first chapter gives the reason why Shakyamuni appeared in the world. There is nothing more to know. Shakyamuni appeared in the world to expound the wisdom of the Buddhas so that all sentient beings may realize enlightenment. Each of us possesses this wisdom. Thus already we are all Buddhas. What we have to do is know it. By getting rid of all the muck of our own opinions. This sutra has deep significance. Have faith in it. The sutra states the wisdom of the Buddhas is the mind itself." Adding to this, Inoue composed the following verse, "The deluded should be enlightened by the true lotus flower. The enlightened should enlighten the true lotus flower." There are two alternatives. Either we realize our nature, or we destroy ourselves. Even continuous recitation of this scripture over a long period of time cannot change this. When reading the sutra, do not be attached to the reading. Equally, do not be attached to not being attached to the reading. Just read. When we study the Ekayana teaching in this way, it is like a white cow leading a wagon. Hotatsu again spoke to Inoue. "The sutra states from the Srivakas to the Bodhisattvas, all maintained constant awareness that the Buddha's wisdom is immeasurable. Leading sentient beings to enlightenment is the Buddha's wisdom. This you have taught me. I realize a talented man will thus realize enlightenment. But what about an ordinary man? How is he to do so?" The sutra refers to three kinds of wagon: the sheep wagon representing the Srivakas, the deer wagon representing the Pracheka Buddhas, and the cow wagon representing the Bodhisattvas. "O Honorable Patriarch, what is the difference between this cow wagon and the previously mentioned white cow wagon?" Now, the Sanjo, or the three divisions of the teaching of the Buddhas, are as follows. In Mahayana Buddhism, the first is the Sravakayana, or Hinayana, in which one understands the Four Noble Truths and becomes an arahant. The second is the Pracheka Buddhayana, or Majjhimika, in which one rightly understands the 12 links of causation and becomes a Pracheka Buddha, and why we are in this deluded state through cause and effect, down through the past lives of the karma we have picked up. We need to know that all of this is delusion, imagination, delusion. We need to know that to be in the great heart of the Buddha's wisdom is to live in the awareness of the illusion of what we have up to now believed to be reality. But this does not mean that we cut ourselves off from what the world regards as reality. It means that we live in the world as if in the sky. It has been said that the deluded are enlightened by the true lotus flower. This is true, yet it is an illusion, for the deluded mind and the true lotus flower enlightening are the same. For many the word enlighten evokes thoughts of happiness, and they have great expectations concerning it. They should know, however, that enlightenment transcends such matters. It is neither something that we can just obtain and be happy about, nor can we pinpoint its source. The Buddhist way is just the Buddhist way, singular, not two or three ways, as believed by Hinayanas. Similarly, the true lotus flower is just the true lotus flower. The Ekayana teaching is the only true teaching. If we expound the principle that we enlighten and are enlightened by the true lotus flower simultaneously, we will realize this. That is to say, we will realize that we enlighten and are enlightened by all things simultaneously. Therefore, we should not be discontented with the delusive state of our mind. The sutra states everything a man who has awoken to Buddha-seeking mind does accords with the way of the bodhisattvas. Initially, we practice the way of the bodhisattvas. That is, we take refuge in the Buddha, and as a result, we enter into enlightenment. The deluded are enlightened by the true lotus flower. Consider this. There is a rich man's house. The house is burning. The burning house is the delusive mind. Illusion exists at the gate. There is illusion outside, in front, and inside the gate. Thus we realize illusion exists not only in the house, but also inside and outside the gate. What we have to do is put out the fire. The Ekayana teaching, which is based on the deluded mind, is both the opening of enlightenment and the entry into it. We are encouraged to enter the white cow wagon, which is the Ekayana teaching. We should do this, though not directly, by via a side alley. This is what we want to do. Consider this question, though. Should the burning house be vacated when the gate is the only exit, being aware that there is also a burning house in the wagon in the side alley? Here, of course, gate, side alley, and burning house are used as allegories. They are far beyond the understanding of ordinary people. Each within themselves are the supreme lotus flower. All they have to do is open, and what was the deluded mind is seen in all its beauty. Many believe that when we ride in the white cow wagon, we go to some special world. This is incorrect, for we remain in the three worlds of past, present, and future. Enlightenment is not an exit by which we escape the cycle of life and death. The house is burning, and many seek to escape using various wagons. These people must stop and think. Where can I go? Does escape really alleviate the danger of the burning house? If only these people would stand in the alley and observe the burning house, they would gain deep understanding of life. Consequently, the alley would become for them Vulture Peak, or a monastery, a place of learning and practice. Ordinary people enjoy the pleasures of this world. They are, however, temporary. The Buddha says, "My pure land is indestructible. I live here eternally. Even if there should be a great fire, always my house is full of angels and totally tranquil and at peace." Consider these words carefully. The sutra states, we must sincerely seek the Buddha. Consider these questions. How do I perceive the Buddha? Within me or outside me? How do I consider enlightenment? Individual or total? When we see the Buddha on Vulture Peak, it is because we have a strong intention to forget our present life and body. And remember that going off to other dusty lands or other places does not necessarily give us what it is we seek. We can find it right here and now in this very meditation hall. The sutra states, I, the Buddha Shakyamuni, eternally proclaim the law on Vulture Peak. For always, this lecture and all lectures, if we understand, and all activity is upon Vulture Peak. He used skillful means, did Shakyamuni Buddha, to lead all to Nirvana, and it was through skillful means that he himself entered Nirvana. The Buddha is near, yet, because we are unenlightened, we cannot see him. Seen through the Buddha's eyes, the burning house is the Buddha land, a place inhabited by celestials. It is the land of Shakyamuni and Varuchana Buddha, a land that is always tranquil and bright. Hence the name of the Varuchana land, the land of eternally tranquil light. Originally, we all possessed four kinds of land. In the Tendai sect, these are a land where both celestials and terrestrials live, two, a land where the inhabitants are mostly free of delusion, three, a land where the bodhisattva's enlightened part of the middle way, and four, a land of eternally tranquil light. In other words, we live in the same land as the Buddhas, and even a speck of dust manifests the Dharma world. When we enlighten the Dharma world, a speck of dust is enlightened. When the Buddhas enlighten the Dharma world, we are enlightened. There is no such thing as a speck of dust under these circumstances, for this full no-thing from the first could not have something that was outside of itself light upon it. When the Buddhas, when we enlighten the Dharma world, a speck of dust is enlightened. When the Buddhas enlighten the Dharma world, we are enlightened. As a result, all things are seen in their essence. That is to say, we enlighten and are enlightened by the lotus flower simultaneously. Even doubts about the Dharma are true form. Those who possess the Buddha's wisdom realize this, for they experience a peaceful existence. Many people believe that their level of perception is dependent on the fact that they exist in the universe or among the dust of the world. This, however, is incorrect. Rather, peaceful existence depends on whether they have grasped the truth or not of reality. For if a man has done so, he is neither affected by the universe nor the dust of the world. In this state, he sees all things in their essence, just as expounded in the Lotus Scripture. Consider the preceding and ask this question. Do I direct my practice to the wide, the universal, or the narrow, the world as we know it? Do not be surprised by this question or doubt its value. Rather, take the principle, the true lotus flower enlightens us, and practice in the light of it. Wide and narrow cannot be defined, and we should not try to do so. We should instead seek to clarify the true lotus scripture. We are told to open enlightenment and enter. The scripture says, sentient beings, open and enter enlightenment, for this is the Buddha's wish. Thus we should understand the opening of the lotus flower. Opening and entering enlightenment, that is, being enlightened by the true lotus flower, means we have been shown the Buddha's wisdom. In other words, we enlighten and are enlightened by the Buddha's wisdom. An enlightened man realizes the events of opening, showing and entering enlightenment to be interrelated. Shakyamuni and all other Buddhas realized enlightenment
as a result of the principle that the true lotus flower enlightens us. When the Buddha predicts another's future enlightenment, it means that it occurs from within, not as a result of another's prediction. The sutra states the deluded will be enlightened by the true lotus flower. There is a verse, when we are enlightened, the true lotus flower is enlightened. Previously we said, the true lotus flower enlightens us. Seek to clarify this, even if it takes an eternity, and gradually you will awaken to enlightenment. It is important to see both the reality and unreality of past lives. These things are not just to show you mistakes that have been made and that need help. They are to show you how time and space do not exist as well, to teach you the 12 steps of dependent origination. Keep this well in mind. In this way, the true lotus flower enlightens us. The true lotus flower enlightens us without pause is the meaning of we enlighten the true lotus flower just as it is. These occur as an overlapping chain of events. Like a horse and a donkey in a race, the horse will complete the course while the donkey, continuing to run, will not do so until later. The great teachings of Shakyamuni detail this further. The scripture states, when Shakyamuni Buddha was proclaiming the Lotus Sutra, countless bodhisattvas sprang from the land in a continuous flow. All these bodhisattvas were just adherents of this scripture, this sutra. Bodhisattvas sprang from the land in a continuous flow. Consider this statement, for it is the meaning of them enlightening and being enlightened by the true lotus flower. Before they sprouted from the ground, they had already sprouted from emptiness or from the eternal. This also means that they enlighten the true lotus flower. Furthermore, not only did they spring from the land and from emptiness, but also from the true lotus flower itself, as I just said. The sutra states the father is young and the child old. We should understand this through the steps of dependent origination. Yet still the father is the father and the child is the child. Thus there is the master-discipleship, the master-disciple relationship in Buddhism. However old and however great the understanding of the disciple, and still the disciple stands upon the master's head, and still they all sit together in the one great circle. For all is one and all is different. Those who understand the true lotus flower, that is, realize everything is true form, are neither surprised by this, nor do they question its veracity. Even though disbelief is itself true form, still we should enlighten the true lotus flower and thus clarify the eternal existence of the Buddha. The bodhisattvas sprang from the land as a result of the Buddha's wisdom. When we enlighten the true lotus flower, our mind is enlightened as the true lotus flower. The true lotus flower is the enlightenment of our mind, for it is truth itself. It is said that bodhisattvas live in the ground, that is, in the eternal, here translated as emptiness. This eternal is enlightenment of the true lotus flower. In other words, the eternal life of the Buddha. The Buddha's eternal life, which is the true lotus flower, The entire world and the unity of mind all exist in the ground and in the sky. Actualization of these in the ground or sky is the meaning of we enlighten the true lotus flower. When we enlighten the true lotus flower, we have three kinds of grass. Sravakas, Pracheka Buddhas, and Bodhisattvas. And two varieties of tree, Mahayana and Hinayana. Be careful never to take metaphors too far in Buddhism. Do not harbor doubts or hold expectations about enlightenment. When we enlighten the true lotus flower, we are in the pure southern continent, Vulture Peak. Vulture Peak is the dojo, the training hall, where we enlighten the true lotus flower. This is the place where Shakyamuni Buddha taught the manner in which this enlightenment emerges. At the time he proclaimed this sutra, bodhisattvas gathering from the 10 directions completely filled the sky. These bodhisattvas are an extension of the Buddha himself. The entire Buddha land in the 10 directions and even a speck of dust enlighten the true lotus flower. For you see, when one is one with the eternal, obviously all bodhisattvas are extensions of the Buddha. And thus the Buddha that is to come, if we look with true eyes, otherwise they look just like ordinary people. It is essential to understand what is being said here, and know the importance of not being subjugated by time and space and physical existence. And still we must sometimes remember that in order to train further, the body has rights, but never to allow it to order us about. All form is emptiness, all emptiness is form. Simply means we can enlighten the true lotus flower. For once we are free of the tyranny of time and space, once we recognize the illusion of this fleeting world, then we can know the true lotus flower. We can enlighten it, and it enlightens us. And the Hanya Shingyo, the scripture of great wisdom, becomes a lot clearer. In fact, it flashes like something far greater than a million suns. Thus we realize to discuss life and death, we realize that to discuss life and death is useless, and that we should not think that life is merely life and death merely death. There are no such things in this reality. Consider this. Friendship is mutual. I am a friend to him, and he a friend to me. The scripture explains this. Present your friend with a gem, and have him hide it in the top knot of his hair or his sleeve. This is a profound principle. Strive to clarify it. Pass from heart to heart that which is the reality. For in doing this, we show true friendship. Friendship is a dangerous thing in that it is usually regarded as something which, when we look at it carefully, is pure emotion. But a true friend passes the truth from heart to heart and does not encourage emotionalism. When the Buddha proclaimed the Lotus Scripture, a 500 yojana single-story tower decorated with innumerable gems appeared before him. At the same time, Prabhutaratna Tathagata also appeared,
and a tower 250 yojanas wide rose from the ground. Thus we can obtain the life of Buddha throughout both endless time and endless space. When Shakyamuni expounded the first 10 chapters of the scripture, this Tathagata, Prabuddharatna, appeared before Shakyamuni in order to praise him. The Buddha stayed in this tower that Prabuddharatna had appeared with Prabuddharatna. Each of these occurrences, the vertical and the horizontal towers, are enlightenment of the true lotus flower, and thus we realize there to be no obstacle of body and mind, for heaven and earth are one, and we should not worry about time and space. Even had the tower entered the ground from the sky, the result would have been the same, enlightenment of the true lotus flower. When the tower rose from the ground, Vulture Peak entered the tower. When the tower entered the ground, the tower entered Vulture Peak. That is to say, the tower became the emptiness of the eternal, and the emptiness of the eternal became the tower. Thus you and the Buddhas are one. The ancient Buddha in the tower, Prabuddharatna, sat on the same seat as did Shakyamuni on Vulture Peak. The Buddha on Vulture Peak expounded the Lotus Scripture. The Buddha in the tower verified it as true, adding, Vulture Peak is Vulture Peak, and Shakyamuni is Shakyamuni. The Buddha in the tower emerged on Vulture Peak. Even though he remained in the tower and had attained Nirvana in the eternal past, likewise Shakyamuni's entry into the tower had no relation to his spiritual attainment or physical location. Do not judge these statements based on the views of Sravakas and Pratyeka Buddhas, but understand that we can enlighten the true lotus flower and clarify them in the light of this. The Buddha Prabuddharatna entered Parinirvana in the ancient past. He is an excellent example of one who followed and attained the Buddhist way. Vulture Peak was the place where this Buddha appeared together with the tower before Shakyamuni, though he could have appeared anywhere. Having read this, one may ask, does anywhere mean the entire world or half the world? We should know that such an event is beyond the limitations of time and space. The Lotus Sutra states, the Dharma may take the form of a Buddha or a sentient being. Both are true. And contact with either results in enlightening the true lotus flower. The same can be said for the Dharma in the form of Devadatta, if we understand this fully. 5,000 people were requested to leave the assembly of the proclamation of the true lotus flower because of their self-centered views. Even having to leave, though, was in itself true form, and Shakyamuni Buddha told them not to despair. Upon hearing this, all enlightened the true lotus flower. Those who remained sat with hands in Gashur for a period of time, said to be 60 small kalpas waiting to hear Shakyamuni's proclamation. Such was their respect for the Buddha. 60 small kalpas may seem an exceptionally long time, but if one is truly waiting, the time passes very quickly. If we consider such a time span long, we confine it to a definable amount. The Buddha's wisdom, however, is indefinable. We must face the question, do we have enough real mind to truly wait? The amount of real mind present equals that of the Buddha's wisdom. We enlighten the true lotus flower as a result of the power of real mind. not because we have trained as a bodhisatta over a long period of time. Before he proclaimed the Lotus Sutra, Shakyamuni said, "I am about to expound the law of Mahayana. The true meaning of the lotus flower exists as a result of the merit of Shakyamuni. This meaning is beyond intellectual understanding, and thus is extremely difficult for the ordinary person to grasp. Realization of the nature of the true lotus flower occurs in a moment. Even if we experience an entirety of months and years, this is so. In other words, the original face and eternal life of the Buddha is expressed in each moment." The Lotus Sutra was transmitted into China, and although for 100 years it was the theme of many commentaries and many priests who studied it gained deep understanding of the Dharma, it was only the patriarch Enor among them who realized the true lotus flower enlightens us simultaneously with us enlightening the true lotus flower. If we receive this teaching, we are truly in the company of the ancient Buddhas Enor and Shakyamuni, and are living in the land of the ancient Buddha. All things at all time form the eternal past to the eternal future. They are the true lotus flower. Truly we should be grateful for this. The true lotus flower is eternal truth. Even if our body and mind are not in harmony, we cannot escape the law of the true lotus flower. Seeing things just as they are is the most wondrous treasure. It is like seeing a brilliant light or being in a meditation hall. It is the vast, eternal life of the Buddha. Illusion is turned by the true lotus flower. Enlightenment turns the true lotus flower. Thus, when the lotus flower appears, it eventually turns into the wheel of the law. And thus, all visions have only empty colors and forms. The wheel turns eternally. Taken to the ultimate, this means the true lotus flower enlightens the true lotus flower by the turning of the wheel. If we respectfully venerate the true lotus flower in the manner prescribed, we will realize there to be nothing more than the true lotus flower, just as it is. And finally we see the seeds drop from the great lotus seed pod throughout the universe. This was given to Zen disciple Etatsu at the summer training period in 1241. Dogen wrote, "I was deeply impressed by the determination of Etatsu. He shaved his head and wears monk's robes. These things alone are worthy of merit. Honest practice is the way of a true monk. Etatsu trained hard, turned the true lotus flower, i.e. as the wheel, and took official ordination. Thus shall his seed drop. It is preyed on fruitful ground." Etatsu trained hard, turned the true lotus flower. The power of the true lotus flower shows things just as they are. The true lotus flower is neither something enlightened by Shakyamuni nor other Buddhas, but is enlightened by the true lotus flower. Turning the lotus flower is the wheel of the Buddha way. It turns the Buddhist way, its wisdom and its enlightenment. If we can grasp the principle of the lotus flower, both the meaning of the Bodhidharma's denial that there be any merit in building temples, and the six patriarchs' ceaseless pounding of rice without thoughts of reward, are clear. Ambition ruins training. Turning the true lotus flower transcends our consciousness and grasps the higher level of the true lotus flower. Inhalation and exhalation are the same now as in the past. Go in and out to the eternal. This was written by I, Dogen, a simple monk, who after training in China returned to Japan and transmitted the Dharma. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.